Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Lunar Skywalker, and it is the second day of the Yellow Human Wave Spell, and it is also the solar moon day 10, 8, 9, 10, 11. What a pro. Listen, this is the second and final podcast that will be airing without me having an ability to hear it while I'm speaking. Thanks for your patience. I have completely let go of being like a tech geek when it comes to this whole thing. What you're listening for is not any kind of refined sound presentation. You're just getting the download on the Mayan teaching. So thanks for your patience. I ordered some new headphones. I'm glad it's just a headphone issue and not a microphone issue. The end. And because I'm already like so far removed from perfection here, I'm not rewinding when I can't remember what day of the solar moon it is. I know that Sunday was the 8th, Monday the 9th, Tuesday the 10th, today Wednesday the 11th. You might be listening on the 12th or the 13th. We're in the second week of the solar moon, and it's in the north, so maybe it's a little more spacious than the first week, which was in the east, the place of the rising sun. It's red in the east. It is fiery, and the mind is really active. And in the north, things are more spacious. The mind quiets down. The spirit is not your mind and not your thoughts. It's something, I guess, more expansive and eternal, and it takes over. Your spirit is probably your contact point with divinity, mine. So there's more angelic presence, and I would say we're more inclined towards conceiving of things as larger than life on earth, that is, right now. And then it'll be the third week in the west, blue. And then it'll be in the south. And that's how we go through every 28-day month or moon. Just really happy to report that I think that the Yellow Human Wave Spell so far is easier than the Blue Storm one, although I remember the Blue Storm Wave Spell being really cool and fun in the first 4 or 5 days. And so we're only in the first couple of days of the Yellow Human Wave Spell, and I couldn't know if maybe I just like the beginning of wave spells more lately, or if it's actually a relief to transition out of the storm front into the human dilemma. That was my biggest awareness, leaving the blue storm wave spell. It's just kind of, well, that's kind of a relief. I don't know what yellow human is, but it's not that. It's not what we just did. And honestly, I think I'm being an empath, meaning I'm picking up on a generalized collective response to the blue storm wave spell that, in my heart, I have a lot of affection and, of course, affinity for the Blue Storm Wave Spell, but I just think it did a number on a bunch of people, millions of them, maybe. And so, in the ambiance of life on Earth, it got really hectic. I checked in with someone else. I guess they listen to the show, so they qualify as someone following the calendar deeply. And so I just quizzed them, like, what happened to you in the Blue Storm Wasteful? We ended up talking on the White Crystal Dog Day, which is the day to talk about, or did we? But anyway, it was the crystal remembrance of the wave spell that was. And what was, I was told, it was just sort of like that sour agitation, like things are smooth and then all of a sudden there's agitation and it might be the worst thing that could ever happen, but it like sours the life experience. Instead of there being sweetness, it's sour. And, you know, I don't think of storms as having acridity. I think of storms as having turbulence and disruption. But there's probably a lot of reaction to disruption and turbulence in the human ego that's more of like, well, this is not a good feeling. I'm not comfortable. So when everyone is reverberating in the Blue Storm moment, that sort of, again, collective unhappiness can then become the next thing. You're not being affected just by a storm front, but you're being affected by the cacophony of resistance to it and the downturn in good moods or surrender suddenly is turned to resistance, and suddenly life is not sweet or simple or smooth at all. And that could have been part of the predicament, at least my predicament in the Blue Storm Wave Spell, because when they were speaking about that to me, like, this is what happened to me, I was all, oh, that gives context to what happened to me. I was just fine, and then I was fucked up. And it really had a hangover. This has been a long sojourn in disruption and disappointment. I'm thinking of other dis words. The way I want to reframe this one more time is just to say that a storm can blow through in a blue storm time. Don't forget we're in a surrounding blue storm year, so this has still relevance. The storm can be in our midst, and that is a building of tension, a release of tension through loud, powerful movement and feelings, movement of feelings. You know, rain and thunder and lightning in the mood version. The mood version of the storm, I think, is recognizable to most of us. It's a breakdown. It's falling apart. It's weeping. It's really feeling angry and volatile, and having that be kind of one layer outside of the internalized pain that becomes sort of the sobbing. The ultimate surrender of a storm is just all the rain falling out of the sky until it's falling gently. And then the sun comes. So anyway, that is what we go through on some paranormal level when it is storm time. But like I said, we get influenced, derailed, or we ourselves are so agitated by the disruption that we become bad human citizens to each other. And I guess the reason I follow this calendar still, maybe because how I began following it in the first place, is that I liked being able to contextualize what was going on in me and around me through these patterns, through these descriptions of tribe and tone. And then I could say, okay, this is a really difficult time, but my lens that I see it through is that there is a storm happening, and then there are a bunch of people, sometimes me, sometimes not me, a bunch of people despairing over the storm itself and how disrupted they feel. And then there isn't peace on earth in our midst. The last thing, I think that was the last thing the additional last thing is just like, I have to say that sometimes in a blue storm time, people just blow apart and open, and they are volatile. They are the storm. You know, they're embodying the storm and they just break apart. And it can be really upsetting when you're around it. So I had said at the beginning of the blue storm wave spell, the best place to be is in the eye of the storm. I want to say that since we're still in a blue storm year, you know, COVID has driven us inside. And even though that's just sort of a literal, doesn't mean that we're in the eye of the storm just because we're locked inside or in quarantine. I do think that, you know, we've not been exclusively inside. We've been in and out, but we've been shut out of so many standard gatherings and, you know, standard entertainment enterprises. We're just like limited to screens and indoors and then nature, and there isn't, well, there's just a curtailing of life. So that's kind of actually like being in the eye of the storm. Just like, well, there's no longer just endless amounts of travel and endless amounts of cavorting and endless amounts of hookups and endless amounts of, you know, direct mall shopping. Like, just the way that everything's kind of hemmed in has pushed us, I think, into the center of ourselves and the eye of the storm year. And it doesn't mean we can't still flail and feel disruptions, obviously, and also be disruptors. You know, in our insulated lives, we can still be really disturbing and having major mood swings, such as a storm describes. But nonetheless, there's always this reminder, right, of limitation, and imposed limitation in the blue storm time is safe. That's a healthy idea. Imposed limitation means I'm going to keep it really simple. I'm going to ride the storm. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to pretend that, you know, I know where it's going. When I ride the storm, I ride blind. But if I ride the storm, I am always acknowledging that it's in charge. You know, I'm going where it's going. I'm a passenger to this twist of fate, this karmic upsurgence. And that's what we're in. You know, I'm going to remind you again that this year replicates 1968-69, from late July 1968 to late July 1969. And just, we can all reflect that 1968 and 2020 are sort of equally memorable now. And they're totally connected. So we're in the blue lunar storm year until the end of this July. Today, that I'm speaking from, Red Lunar Skywalker is on the heels of the blue storm wave spell that amplified or underlined the blue storm year we're in, surrounding blue storm year. It's a lunar day within a lunar year, and it amplified and underlined the lunar nature of our life right now. And what is that? Lunar means identifying challenge and being challenged while we identify it. It's not just blind challenge that doesn't, you know, even have time for understanding what's happening. We are in our second year of 13. We're in our second day of 13 here on Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day. And we've already, you know, been living the challenge since the very beginning of either wave spell. But on the second day, we identify the challenge. I've said this a bunch of times, but let me pitch it out there again, that when we start a wave spell, whether it's days or moons or years, it can often feel, especially in the 13-day wave spells, like the first day can have one of two tonalities. It can be a good day or a bad day. It can be, good to me means easy. Bad means hard. Good to me means I'm pretty stable. Bad means I'm really disrupted, disturbed, anxious. I'm upset, I'm unhappy. if the wave spell starts on the first day in peace, kind of a peaceable, joyful, or optimistic place, such as my yellow human wave spell that started yesterday, the 16th, was, then the second day, where I identify challenge, I'm going to be looking at the shadow, you know, the opposite of day one, and the opposite of it being easy is that it's hard, or that I felt lightness, that I feel darkness or heaviness, that I felt kind of happy, that I feel kind of unhappy. You know, conversely, we could say that the first year of our 13-year wave spell, that was last year, that would be July 26th of 2019 to July 24th of 2020, that year was called White Magnetic Wizard. We could say, I could say, well, I mean, we still had a lot of Trump, you know, just a constant chronic abusive overlay of Donald Trump, and it was rough, still rough, enduring, continuingly rough. And then we got some liberation, you know, just to use him as a touchstone and example. Well, he was voted out, and it was just dumbass resistance on his part to being voted out, but nonetheless it happened, and we were liberated from a certain kind of torture that accompanied that first year. And I think that that's really, you know, the reverse example of when you have a really tough magnetic tone, and then in the lunar tone you start to feel liberated, released, you see the light when you were kind of pushed through darkness to start your wave spell. So that's something you can watch for. Or I tell myself, I mean, honestly, I'm always dealing with trauma memory in my body, you know, just I think most of us are, many of us. So I don't do well unless I kind of stipulate that there is a reason for what's happening around me. And that's how I use astrology to heal. And astrology is also spirituality to me. It's how I trust in God. But, you know, on the other hand, it's just a guide rail or a guardrail to get me through days on Earth. And so if the wave spell begins and it's groovy, and then the second day I'm bummed out, I go, oh, well, that makes sense. This is the challenge of the wave spell. I didn't see it the first day, but now I do. And then if I start a wave spell and it's really, really tough just to get through that first magnetic day, I usually notice that the second day is half as tough, or the reverse of tough. It's easy. So you can watch for that interplay. Remember, lunar, the tone lunar for this year, for this day, is about showing us polarity, darkness, light, shadow, and pure light, just like we observe on the moon, hence the name. Now, to push harder into entering this yellow human wave spell, what can I say? I mean, we were storms. We were giant, and now we're smaller and condensed, cellular, and we're flesh. That can feel like a relief, or, you know, it's like being right-sized. That's a recovery term. You know, you're not over outsized. You're not, kind of experiencing yourself as larger than life, or, you know, pushing boundaries so that you take up more space than is really rightfully yours. No, we could be right-sized right now, pushing into like the inhabitation of storm energy is pretty chaotic, and it's also kind of disperses our focus, it makes it complex. I think being in yellow human is sort of hilariously simple compared to being a storm. And I know that humans think of themselves as super complex, and I think of humans as super complex, like just the agitation in the mind that leads to so much invention and innovation. That's pretty complex. But to be in the yellow human time doesn't have so much of that, as more like the dulling of a human, the hieroglyph makes a human look really like wide-eyed and empty, you know, like zombie-esque. If you look at the little drawing of the yellow human day sign. So I often think of yellow human as at its best. We're at our best when that kind of natural emptiness of our vessel is filled with divinity, with our contact with God as we understand God. So that's the opportunity in the yellow human time that we're in, is to both play with being fallible. You know, the empty zombie doesn't have a lot of perfection. We're imperfect. You know, perfection is divinity. Imperfection is human incarnation. So we get to wrestle with being imperfect right now, or we get to be liberated to be imperfect and let go of our aspirations of something greater. And at the same time, in our fallibility, the humility that can come with it, we could see that yellow human piece that we are filled with light. We are empty so that we can be filled with light. And that's the metaphor, right? For every time you fall down, I fall down, or I feel completely drained and I can't figure out how I'm going to do anything more on this project I've been working on for a while. It's a bottom, or it's just when you become concave and you don't really fill up the space that you've been designated, you're just a shadow of yourself, or you're just an outline, then you can be poured full with yellow, golden energy and light that comes from the sun, the source. So that could be something you could watch, wish for in this particular time. Other aspects of yellow human thinking. Well, free will is one of the words, and free will means, I guess, that, you know, we are not puppets. We are somehow independent and have decision making, and we have choice, and we constantly choose. You know, you'll just have to watch for that. I think I'm just describing that in the yellow human wave spell, kind of reckon with what it is to be human. And that's why I originally posted a photo of my dog, wondering, like, what do animals who live in a Mayan observing household feel about being in the yellow human time? Because when it's the white dog time or the blue monkey time, I feel different. I feel like those animals. And actually watched my dogs on Blue Cosmic Monkey. My dogs acting like monkeys. Just crazy, crazy, silly, zany behavior. Just really enjoying that. So I'm not going to say more about yellow human. Geez, do you want a prognosis? Do you want me to be like your augurer and tell you what yellow human wave spell is going to be like? Or just, I think the interplay slash tug of war of feeling really influential, and that free will gives you freedom from being indentured to some of your addictive thinking. Like, free will is what everyone who knows an alcoholic thinks they should use to stop drinking. Just make a choice and stick to it. So when we're in the yellow human time, maybe we could do that. Have that extra power of asserting ourselves. But it's an interplay of that with the true lesson, which I again derive from the hieroglyph, that we're pretty automated by fate, by divinity, dark forces and light, depending what we fill up with. Both, another interplay. So seeing ourselves as a vessel and watching what wants to come through, and also treating what wants to come through as infiltration, you know? I had to do that work today, just like, what? I feel terrible. Why? And I, you know, being the sort of psychic type, I'm like, is this so and so? Okay, so-and-so's energy should be with so-and-so, not in me. That's a mistake I've made or they've made. Just go back and feeling lighter, simpler, not as complicated by, you know, more than my own home energy. And I did it again with another person, someone I dreamed about. So it was natural that they would be kind of in my space. Just like, okay, let's just push it out and see what's left. And I did feel better. So, yellow human, the vessel. What's inside of your vessel? I'm just riffing, though. Yellow human is one of the ones that I just can't tell you about because we're all human, you know. It's too close to home. I'm really resisting talking about the solar moon. I know that I have been. I've been referencing it, so I shouldn't have to just like start over here and now. I just feel like it's got me. It's got me, and it's kind of hurting a little bit to be in the time. I had told you I have personal reasons. I grew up in the household with a solar mom. She just really always had her eye way beyond what's happening in front of her with me. I mean, it was all in front of her. It wasn't, you know, wasn't what was in her, inside her. It was what she was aiming for. And I'm not particularly drawn to that right now, although I just planned a whole trip for post-vaccination next summer. Like, I am fixated on that. So that would be a perfect example of solar. Just like, whoa, I'm aiming for the sun. It's way out there. I'm going for it. But generally, what I think is more useful in the solar time is to just be like, what is it I want, man? And not what I want because I, you know, deserve it, but more like, what is my yearning? What drives me? What is my hunger? We're not trying to figure out our whole lives, just this year as it culminates. Like, this whole year that started July 26th, what has it been pushing me towards? I'm there, you know what? I'm not, this is me acting. This is not me confessing on the radio. It's like, I'm there. What is it that's formed me so that now as I stand before God, you know, this capitulation of asking for what I really deeply yearn for, what I've been aiming for without knowing it, where I'm arriving that I'm only now understanding right before I behold it. Like, what is that consciousness? What are we seeking to attain? I came up with something. I feel like this is a little personal, but I came up with, like, you know, like, who doesn't miss sex who is not in a partnership during COVID? And maybe a bunch of people who are in partnership, you know, who used to like have emotional affairs outside the home, but like, just the paralysis of human relationships. Not that it's all negative. You know, I'm sure the relationships deepen and that we're bound together by this, you know, surrounding hardship, and that's all good. But just in terms of accidentally meeting people or starting something new, that is very challenging. Challenging me on the lunar day and the lunar year, underscoring, is challenging. And me being like, it's only been a year, but it just, it's starting to feel like quite a distance between myself and what it's like to fall in love. And I had a dream that I was like wrapped up in someone. And I thought, well, that was a beautiful support to me not having it in the daytime, that in the dream time there is this connection. And I think even though it hasn't been on my mind all year, there's a bunch of other things I've been trying to do and wishing for or aiming for here in the solar moon, where I'm like, what is it I'm trying to attain? What do I want? I could just feel like, well, I mean, I want that. I want that loving connection that is physicalized and cellular. It's not just atmospheric. It's not just a memory. It's not just an idea for the future. It's two people physically engaged. And I'm not using the word sexually, although it could certainly would hopefully include that. It's just more like, and I'm not trying to be a cliche because we're locked away from each other. I'm saying, you know, I miss touch and, you know, leaning up against someone when you're wandering around. So that's my solar report of late. And you can just notice what kind of longings are starting to push into your consciousness or take over your consciousness or your dreamtime consciousness, your subconscious. Okay, thanks. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.